You're listening to Dropping the Gloves with former NHL All-Star John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash.
Good evening, everybody. I hope everybody's doing well. Welcome to another episode of Dropping the Gloves with John Scott and Tim Wurzberger. Tim, how you doing, my man? You looking good today?
Oh, thank you. I'm doing good, John. How was your weekend?
I'm so happy spring break is over. You have no idea.
Oh.
It was a long week. Long week with kids, long week with the weather, long week just in general. So I'm very happy. It's over. It was a week of disciplining my children. It was a week of my wife was struggling with her pregnancy. We're on number 7. Maybe people didn't catch that. My wife's pregnant with number 7. So she's just, you know, when you get to week 26, 27, you know, things start to get a little tight in the old belly. And so she's moving around a little bit slower. So I've picked up the slack. I've made dinner maybe more often than I would in previous weeks. So, we're, you know, a lot of burgers, a lot of just like steak and potatoes, not a lot of, you know, sauces or flavors or layers of flavor like my wife does, how she like thinks of things. I'm like, all right, what are we going to do? We're going to do hot dogs and fries. And then I'll make a shake out of fruit. I said, you know what? They're fed. They're happy. That's all we need to do. So it's been a long week to say the least. So to get the kids off to school it was great. It was nice. Get a little break. Even though she's still watching 3 kids, it's a break. 6 is a lot. So I'm glad we're into post spring break. That's all I have to say.
I didn't even know that was happening. You were kept that pretty buttoned up last week.
You know, I was just in the middle of it. It's like when you're in a tornado, you're not going to talk about how you're in a tornado. You just got to get through it. And then you'll talk.
You're trying to survive.
I'm trying to survive, man. That's what it was. I literally like spring break for everybody else was like hell week for me. I love my kids, love them to death, but man, it was a lot. And it was a terrible weather. So it wasn't like we couldn't send them outside. It was rainy. It was muddy. Our driveway turned into like a mud bog. Let's go outside. They come back in. They like covered head to toe in mud. It's like, come on, you guys. Like, let's go. What are you going to do? You know, it's just life. You embrace it and you move on. Yeah. And that's what we did. So it's a Monday. It's a good Monday. I'm glad I'm Catholic. We're into kind of we can almost see the horizon of Easter, 2 weeks away. It's just called Passion Week. So it's very good. We got Passion Week this week. Then we go into Palm Sunday on Sunday and we're into Easter. So it's very exciting. Yeah. Anyways, you had a good weekend?
Yeah. Uneventful compared to all that. Doing a little traveling for work this week.
Yeah.
To Chattanooga, Tennessee. Beautiful historic Chattanooga. It's actually supposed to be a cool little town. A lot of history there. So yeah, I'm excited.
What's the romance life treating you these days? You got any dates for the fans, the listeners? Any stories?
None that I'm going to tell on the show.
Ooh, I like it. Keeps his cards close to his chest. Very fun, Tim. Well, we're excited to hear if a Mrs. Wurzberger comes along. That'll be exciting for the listeners. I know they're very invested in your love life. They really are. It's like a real life Truman Life with you. Truman Show. We just want to know. Everyone's just watching, waiting.
With Adderies like and everything.
Just like everybody was watching and waiting to see how many games Jay Beagle was going to be suspended. With faded breath after the whole Arizona Coyotes, Anaheim Mighty Ducks incident. Maybe, you know what, a lot of people didn't see this because it was on the West Coast. Everybody had gone to bed. It wasn't a really high profile game. Why would you watch it? The Ducks have been terrible of late. The Coyotes have been terrible for the better part of 5 decades. Why would you watch this game? Something very interesting happened. There was 2 things that caught my eye. One, potentially the goal of my lifetime. Trevor Zegras is a magician with the stick. He absolutely did it again behind the net. Picks up a puck. I want to say he's going 75% to full speed. And lacrosse style wraps it around Sonny Milano to a gaping wide open net, scores a goal. It was an incredible goal. I think that goal is being overshadowed by the whole Jay Beagle incident. This kid is unbelievable. Like the show that he's putting on this season, him, Troy Terry, Sonny Milano, maybe not Troy Terry. Troy Terry is a conventional, really good goal scorer. Doesn't really do anything too flashy, but Trevor Zegras, like I'm sorry. This kid is unbelievable. the chutzpah on him to be able to pull off these moves in an NHL game. And it's not like he's an unknown now. Players know he's going to do these things. They know he's going to try to attempt the Michigan goal when he gets behind the net. So they're aware of it. To be able to pick up a puck, skating somewhat full speed with a defender on your back, and have the wherewithal to wrap it around your own guy, knowing that the goalie of the opposing team is on his keister, and to throw it into a gaping net is unbelievable. It's just a really smart play. If he would have tried to take it on the ice and try to wrap it around conventionally, Milano would have been in the way. It would have been fumbling with it. It would have just been difficult. He's like casually lifts it up on his blade, boop, around Milano. It was, if you haven't seen it, go and check it out. It was an amazing goal. I'm very, very impressed. I want to get Zegras on the show. Yeah. I would love to say he's a friend of the show, but he's not right now. He's not. We've got to get on the show. Not yet. Let's talk about the main incident. Tim, talk about Jay Beagle. Talk about what happened. Break down. I want to hear what you think of the incident. How many guns should be pointed at Jay Beagle for the shooting line? I'm guessing that should be his punishment. What's going on? Break down what happened in this incident with Jay Beagle and Trevor Zegras, and then eventually Troy Terry.
Yes. So there was a scrum in front of the net. I think it was like 5-0 at this point. It's later in the game.
It was 5-0, correct.
Yeah.
And 2 minutes left.
Jay Beagle, I think, feels a little bit embarrassed. I think he's a little frustrated. And I think, you know, going a little deeper, he's probably among the dinosaurs of the league. And so now he's taking out some frustrations on Ducks. You got Zegras scoring that goal. You got him losing. You got all these skill players doing these big things. And Zegras felt embarrassed. He felt slighted. He felt that he didn't like it. So he punches back. And basically, what do you call it? Jumps Troy Terry in a scrum. Yeah. And Troy Terry does not shed the mitts. He does not fight back. He's just pummeling him. Jay Beagle is just pummeling Troy Terry. And Troy Terry basically did nothing back. And you don't really see, you see some of the Ducks like trying to get to him, but not too aggressively. The refs don't break it up for a few minutes. And then Terry looks hurt. Beagle looks like a jackass. And we are all kind of left trying to make sense of what happened there. So most people on Twitter, online, whatever, are pretty pissed at Beagle. They think that he jumped a defenseless player. They're ripping the announcer who said that Beagle was sending a message to the young guys saying like, hey, you try to embarrass me. This is what happened. This is what you get, which I think is just the wrong take completely, because the league is getting younger. It is getting faster. It's been happening for a long time, and trying to fight it is you look like the jerk in the situation, especially attacking a defenseless player. John, you saw what happened. What's your take on all this?
Well, I don't think that's what Jay Beagle was trying to do. So the announcer for the Coyotes, his name is escaping me right now. I know who he is. I can't remember his name. I think it was a bad take by him. I think he just said that just to make a point that that's what he wanted to do, you know, but he's an announcer. He's not on the ice. It's not like Jay Beagle is going after Troy Terry or Trevor Zegras because, oh, they're too skilled. I don't like this. I'm an old school type player. This is BS. We're not going to have it anymore.
You think that's not what happened?
That's not why Jay Beagle did what he did. He did what he did because he was frustrated. He's on a garbage team. They were losing 5-0. And he felt that Trevor Zegras took an extra shot at his goalie after the whistle, or while the goalie was controlling it. So if you watch the play, Zegras comes in, gives the goalie a shot. Zegras says the puck was loose. Who am I to argue with him? That's semantics. Beagle sees that, comes in, gives Zegras a cross check, pretty hefty cross check. That's fine. Troy Terry comes in, sees his young guy getting hit, jumps Beagle from behind. Beagle thinks he's in a fight, turns around, sheds the mitt. I'm okay with everything to this point. Everything is fine. This is a hockey play. You got a player going after a loose puck. You got a player sticking up for his goaltender, maybe a little frustrated because it's a 5-rip game. You got another player coming in defending his young skill line mate. Everything's fine. Jay Beagle turns, sheds his mitts. Troy Terry doesn't know he's in a fight. And he thinks he's just going to be another wrestling match. Everything is fine to this point. Jay Beagle starts throwing. I'm still good with this. What I'm not good with is punch number 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Too much. At some point, Jay Beagle should realize that the guy he's pummeling isn't fighting back. He's still got his gloves on. He's almost holding him up. At some point, you have to say, okay, I'm taking this too far. And he didn't have that moment of recognition. That's what I'm not okay with. So the first half of this thing, I'm totally good with everything. It's the second half where Jay Beagle should get some kind of suspension. I don't know Beagle's suspension or fine history with the NHL. I haven't seen his name in the news. I know he's been around for a long time. Maybe he has picked up a fine or a suspension here and there, but I've played against Jay Beagle. He's a tough player. I don't think he has this reputation or intent in his game, but he should have lit up near the end of it. And lo and behold, he catches Troy Terry with a couple good punches, and it comes out, his eye is absolutely swollen. It's all cut up. He did some damage to him. So I think this has taken on a life of his own. Everyone's turning this into a bigger story than it actually is because of the announcer. Why the heck is that announcer even saying those things? I don't understand it. Like, shut your mouth. You don't know what's going on. You're not inside Jay Beagle's head. And just let him fight. It's a hockey play. He's sticking up for his goaltender. And then Jay Beagle, he's got his wires crossed. We talked to Steve McIntyre. He went crazy. He was probably frustrated. And he maybe took it a little too far. Not maybe, he did take it too far, where he should have stopped punching Troy Terry when he realized Terry was a defenseless participant and just let it go. You know what I mean? So, and then just the whole turning into this where, you know, we're trying to stop the skill players. I like Zegras. I like Troy Terry. I think it's good for the game. I don't understand this side of it. So I do think Jay Beagle is an honest player. I don't think he was trying to send a message to those players. That's what I think. Who's the announcer's name for Arizona? It's on the tip of my tongue. It's bothering me. He's got Tyson Nash. That's who it was. Tyson Nash. So he wasn't a skill guy. He was an agitator, and maybe that's what he wanted to do if he was in that situation. So it is what it is. It's getting blown up because of those comments by that commentator. If it's just an incident with no color commentary happening, I don't think many people talk about this. It's like, yeah, Jay Beagle lost his control a little bit, and he went a little haywire, and he caught Troy Terry with a couple bombs that maybe he shouldn't have thrown. And then we move on. Besides that, there's the whole NHL Department of Safety issue, where when you look at this and you hear Zegras' comments after the game and you see the outcome of the incident, why is there no suspension? Why is there no even fine? Why is there no conversation being had with Jay Beagle? I don't understand that side of it. And this goes into a whole other issue of what is the NHL doing with protecting the players? You know, they put in the instigator rule 20 some years ago. They put in all these checks and balances per se. We're going to protect the players. The players don't have to protect each other. We're going to take this on. That's why the instigator rule was put into effect. The NHL was essentially saying, we don't want you guys going cowboy to try to protect each other. We will come in. We will make sure the guilty party gets suspended, gets fined, gets punished for their transactions. For whatever reason, this is not happening. You know, it's been building to a crescendo, and I think it's hit its peak this year when we've noticed there's been a ton of things happening, and the suspensions, when they're there, they're inconsistent, or they're not there at all. You could have the same cross-check 10 different times. It gets fined, it gets called a penalty, it gets a 5-game suspension, or just get nothing called at all. And I think the players are fed up with it. The fans are fed up with it. The GMs are fed up with it. Everybody doesn't know. Nobody knows what to think. And Larry Brooks from the New York Post, who is a Hall of Fame writer, very respected within the hallowed walls of the NHL. Like, he's a very respected writer. He came out and he ripped Colin Campbell. He ripped Gary Bettman. He ripped the Department of Player Safety. He ripped Stephen Walkham. Long story short, he just said the whole thing needs to be overhauled. We need to get someone in who doesn't have skin in the game. That means someone who doesn't get a paycheck from the NHL. Someone who isn't directly implicated by Gary Bettman, Colin Campbell, and these guys who basically are puppet masters. And I've been saying it for years. I've said it here. George Parros, I very rarely suspend somebody without running it through Gary Bettman. And I truly believe that. No one will ever say that. Gary Bettman has his hands in every single decision that's made through the Department of Player Safety. And it's obvious when you look at the suspensions. There needs to be another third party to come in and say, listen, we're not going to answer to Gary Bettman. We're not going to answer to Colin Campbell or Stephen Walkham. We will look at every situation and we will have an independent panel decide whether that's a suspension, and it'll be consistent throughout the NHL. Doesn't matter if you're played 900 games. Doesn't matter if you've played one game. Doesn't matter if you have 55 goals. Doesn't matter if you're -20. Every player will be judged on the incident on the ice in that situation. That's all. Completely just transparent. Nothing else going on. You're not getting that nowadays. I look at a play like Tyler Ennis. They said this year they're going to crack down on the cross checks. Enzo gets cross checked in the ribs twice. The second time the guy breaks his ribs, not even a penalty on the ice. Not even a penalty on the ice. Enzo's done for the year. His 700th game in the NHL. The Department of Player Safety is not even going to look at it. Like, why is that not a $5,000 fine? You know what I mean? It boggles my mind. And then you have other times where a guy just slashes somebody on the wrist or a guy dives and it's a fine. It's so incredibly non-consistent. It drives you nuts. And as a player, the thing you strive for, this thing you want in your life is consistency. You want a routine. You want something to grab onto. You want something tangent where I can say, you know what? If I do this, this is going to happen. You can't have that now. You can't have that when you have a guy. And I know you'll argue with me with this. I don't think it was a terrible play. Taylor Hall sucker punching Ilya Lyubushkin after Lyubushkin hits him. Yes, it wasn't an aggressive sucker punch. Yes, it didn't end in a terrible injury. He did punch him in the side of the head when Lyubushkin wasn't watching. Like, it wasn't terrible, but something should have happened. You know what I mean? There should have been something. PK Subban, last game, Oliver Wahlstrom hits Jack Hughes. Perfectly clean hit. Insanely clean hit. Jack Hughes just goes down. Wasn't even a big hit, just a bump. PK Subban, for whatever reason, think Oliver Wahlstrom stabbed Jack Hughes in the neck. Completely, it was a 3-on-2 against the Devils. He leaves his position to skate across the ice to jump Oliver Wahlstrom, giving the Islanders a 2-on-1. They give him, you know, a couple penalties, an instigator, and a 10. No other suspensions being had. If that's Tom Wilson, if that's Nick Delorier, if that's somebody who has a reputation who does that, the guy's getting 7 to 10 games. I don't get it. I don't understand it. And you see it time and time again, all these different situations, and they get suspended or they get fined and completely different. There's no rhyme or reason. They don't give you an explanation. There should be some kind of consistent. I don't get it. So Larry Brooks ripped the NHL. I totally agree with him. This needs to be overhauled. They need to figure out something that works better because the players are pissed, man. And it's just something needs to be done because it's just, it ain't working, man. It's not working. It hasn't worked for 5 years. It hasn't worked for 10 years. They need to fix it, and they need to fix it fast because it's just, it's costing people games. I don't know. What do you think? Recap, try to tie a bow on this, Tim, to make it all pretty for us.
Well, I think it's your perspective is interesting coming from a guy who played in the league, like the whole thing of, you know, we were all sure why Beagle did what he did. Like, we were all sure, even if we can tear apart Tyson Nash for saying what he did, like and then you're saying like, yeah, this stuff happens all the time. There's a million reasons behind it. And the guy up in the suite has no idea what's happening on the ice. And you're totally right. And it makes me wonder, like, how many other incidents we think we understand, but unless you're on the ice in the scrum, you know, at that level, knowing, hearing what's being said, understanding the history, you just don't know. You just don't know. There's a million reasons why. And I think that's really interesting. And I don't think that's something that fans really think enough about. Regarding the inconsistency of the Department of Player Safety, it's, to me, it's like, okay, this has got to be a hard job. There's a lot of things, and we've talked about it a lot on the show, where it's like, this hit looks just as bad as this one. One gets suspended, one didn't, but here's why. It's not just history. It's always like there's an extra step taken. There's another little thing here. There's a little nuances that happen. When you watch it at break speed, it seems identical, but when you break it down step by step, there's a reason one gets suspended, one didn't. And it's hard for people, especially if you're a player, if you're a fan of the Devils, Jack Hughes gets bundled, you want vengeance, you want justice. And I understand it's an emotional aspect of it. That all said, you're right. It is inconsistent. It is broken. And I don't understand why. And I guess that's my question coming back to you is like, what do you think is the biggest reason for the league not being able to get this right? Where it's like, everyone knows this should be a suspension. This should be a fine. And they don't do it. They're not protecting the players. It's got to be, I mean, what are we not understanding? What are we missing that this is such a problem when it seems so straightforward?
Yeah, I don't know. If I had the answer, I'd be a millionaire. I don't know. I think a big thing with the Troy Terry incident, it was out west. It was out west. There's so every single game, there's a hockey center. So if there's a goal disallowed, it goes to this hockey center. They watch it. Everybody thinks when there's a goal disallowed, they watch it in the rink. No, they send it off and they watch and they tell the ref if it's a goal or no goal. Maybe there wasn't anybody around after the game. Maybe like they checked out, like, you know, we're out of here. There's 2 minutes left. Take care. Comb your hair. So I don't know the reason, but it seems like when it's a big high profile game, you know, that's when there's a suspension. That's when there's a fine because they know there's more eyes on the game and they have to make an impact. But a Coyote Ducks game when there's barely a blip on the radar, no one's watching, and who cares? You know, let's move on. Those two teams are both not going to make the playoffs. Who cares? There just needs to be consistency. It would be great, like I said, if you could hire a few ex-players and just have three or four guys, and they would have to come to consensus, probably five. Every incident that you think should be reviewed, those five guys sit down, they chop it up, they say, what do you guys think? Let's compare it to this, this, and that. And you just have, you have old videos you can look at, and you go, okay, well, this was a hit to the head. Let's look at all the other fines we've given out. Let's look at all the other suspensions we've given out and compare it to all these. And where does this one line up? And we'll go from there. And you make a determination on that. You can't just arbitrarily say, oh, well, you know what? That was a hit to the head. Let's give this guy 25 games. I think you have to have some kind of range where if he picks it, if he's facing the guy, if it's in the boards, if it's a, you know, a cross check, if it's in the ribs, if it's a in the neck, in the face, like there has to be different categories and punishments based on the severity of those things. So I don't know. But right now, the players don't know. I think that's the problem. And we've always asked for clarity. When I was on the competition committee, we talked about this at large. We said, well, what's a fine? What's a suspension? Where can we find this in writing? Where can we find comparables? And they don't do it. Every single year, they show you a video of like, okay, this hit is clean. This hit is dirty. And it was funny when I first came into the league, all the hits were clean. And then 3 years later, all the clean hits that they showed you were all dirty. It's like, oh, okay, well now I have to completely change how I play my game. And this year, all these hits will be clean. And then 2 years, all those hits will be dirty. So it's an ever moving target with the player, and it's frustrating. So the players just want to play hockey. They want to know what to do and what not to do, what they can do and what they can't do. And they just make it difficult because you go in and you're like, I'm not going to bring up my situation. The Louis Erickson hit. I know you have umbrage with that. I didn't hit him in the head. The follow through pitcher looks terrible. I hit my shoulder, hits his whole body. It was my first time ever being in trouble with the NHL. And he gives me seven stinking games. It's like, what do you mean? I wasn't going full speed. I didn't take strides into the hit. He dumped the puck in the corner and I laid him out. I didn't speed into it. I was literally, my feet were stuck in train tracks. They didn't take a stride for 5 to 10 feet to Louis Erickson. And I'm sitting there after the hit. Even I get taken to the box. I'm like, for what? I literally glided into this guy just because he's admiring his pro dump. And I, you know, blew him up at center ice, and it's the Boston Bruins and the Buffalo Sabres, and we have a history. I'm going to get seven games for that just because I'm 6'8" and I'm a, you know, relatively tough guy. So, and that's the stuff right there where it just doesn't make sense to me. And I know you'll argue with me because you're a Bruins fan, but it was not deserving of seven games for a first incident person. I should have maybe gotten two games, if anything at all. I don't think I should have gotten anything, but that's what players get frustrated with about. So, all that being said, they just want something that they can grab onto something in writing saying, okay, this is what you're going to get if this happens. Here's some past, you know, videos you can look at. You can reference these. That's how we want you to play the game. And it changes all the time. And you don't get the same suspensions for the same players, for the same play, doing the exact same thing. And how can, anyways, let's talk about something else. I'm just saying the same things different ways.
Yeah, there was another kind of controversial thing over the weekend. Keith Yandel, his Iron Man streak was finally broken, 800 something games. And it was kind of back and forth. He was supposed to potentially be scratched. You know, a few weeks ago, the Flyers have been out of it. He has not been having a good season, which I wasn't surprised about. And
not surprising.
Yeah, some people I know wanted the Bruins to get him. I was like, no. Although he did sign for close to league minimum, which I was surprised about. I thought he'd make more. Anyway, he's been a guy that, yeah, the Flyers have been bad. He has not worked out there. I think he will come back in the league next year. But all that said, his Iron Man streak was broken. He was healthy scratched on Sunday. And this is the first time, obviously, in a long time, 800 plus games. People are mad. They're like, hey, listen, the Flyers are out of it. What benefit do you have of scratching him? Keep it going. Let him continue and see how far he can take this thing. And other people are like, well, if he doesn't deserve to play, that kind of defeats the whole point of the Iron Man streak. It's got to be on merit and ability, not just availability. And so he gets healthy scratch. Kessel, who was chasing him, just passed him last night. So he's the longest going Iron Man. Do you care about this at all? Is this something that you think people are getting upset about for no reason, or is this something that players actually do care about that you're on Yandel's side here?
I'm definitely not on Yandel's side. And I don't think Yandel really fought this. He's like, you know what? They got bringing in guys from college. They want to see what people have. When you bring a guy in from college, you have to give him ice time. You sign him to a PTO or this and that. You get 9 games to see what this guy's got. And it's not like you touched on it. Keith has been dog poo this year. Like, he's been playing terrible. He's minus 39. He's got 1 goal and 14 assists. He plays 14 minutes a game. He doesn't get much power play time. He doesn't do any PK time. Why would you, like, honestly, I know there's a sentimental side to this. He's going to be 36 years old in the summer. I think he's done. I don't even think he signs on with another team next year. He had a good run. Like, his time is done. You know, can he put up some points still? Yes, but I think Chuck Fletcher had to do what he had to do. You know, there comes a point when you have to pull a Bill Belichick and just be like, no, enough. We're not going to sign this guy because we love him. We this is an NHL hockey team. This isn't a fantasy camp. This isn't like a sentimental tour where it's like, you know what? He's a pretty good dude. We're going to keep him in the lineup just because, you know what? He's healthy. Got to keep playing him. No. And for everybody who's butthurt about this, no one cares about your feelings. This is the NHL. This is the best league in the world. And the fact that you have like some kind of sentimental attachment to Keith Yandel's Iron Man streak, which is stupid, doesn't mean a thing to me. We're trying to win hockey games. We're trying to evaluate talent. And Keith Yandel should be playing for the Phantoms, and he barely could probably crack that lineup. He should not have been in the NHL this year. Like, he shouldn't have. He's been playing terrible all season long. He's better than I am. I know people will come at me like, he's way better than I am. The guy's played almost 1,100 games in the NHL. He's got 600 points. He's a fantastic NHL hockey player. He's going to be 36 years old. His best years are 10 years behind him. He plays a type of game that he can't play anymore. He's a skill guy who moves the puck and gets up in the play. He can't do that anymore. So I think it's fine that they made this decision, and Keith Yandel's fine with it. I don't think he said anything in the press. I think he understood what was coming. Let's move on. Go. No one deserves anything. That's what I feel like people don't understand in this world. And I'm not going to bring in the young kids anymore, but there seems to be a generation that feels like everything, they deserve everything. You don't have to work for anything. You don't deserve anything in this life. Not one thing. You have to earn everything you get. And we're not talking about any hockey league. This is the NHL, where you have to earn everything. Everything you get, you have to earn. And I think he's been given a few years based on his resume, where maybe he didn't earn it. So he's been living on borrowed time, Keith Yandel. And this was a long time coming. It was a fun story. We had the little hiccup last year in Florida. He came to Philadelphia. Thank goodness Philadelphia was a bad team, or else this would have happened months ago. They had no one else to fill in for him. So that's my take on it. I don't care if he's close to 1,000 games. I don't care if he's close to 2,000 games. If you don't deserve to play in the league, you should not play in the league. There comes a time when you have to look yourself in the mirror and say, you know what? I can't do it anymore. Am I really good enough to play in this league, or I'm just embarrassing myself and hurting my team? The Michael Strahan thing with the New York Giants comes to mind when he was going to break the sack record. He got hurt. He didn't break the record. They put him in for one play versus the Green Bay Packers. Brett Favre all but laid down for him, and he gets a sack record. BS. I'm not a fan of that. Should not have a record like that. So those type of things where it's like, well, you know, he's a good guy. I don't care. These are the best leagues in the world. You shouldn't just roll over just because it's a good story. that's my shtick. So, and I think Keith would, he would say the same thing. He doesn't want your pity. If he doesn't deserve to play, that's fine. That's totally fine. He'll move on and he'll just live a happy life. He's had a good NHL career, better than I would imagine he ever expected. He started playing in the NHL when he was 20 years old. He's going to be 36 this summer. That's 15, 16 years. That's a good run. He doesn't deserve anything. He's gotten a good life out of this NHL, and good for him. So for everybody who's hurt, just suck it up, man. Man, these people are so incredibly soft.
If they're hurt and upset, should they just like order some food to comfort them?
Yes. DoorDash. Thank you, Tim. Do it. Order some food. Just calm down your nerves. I need to order DoorDash. I'm fired up. People just get so incredibly attached to things when it's just like, no, no, no. So go to DoorDash. Use promo code GlovesDD if you're in Canada, GlovesDD US if you're in the US of A, and just cool out, man. Get yourself a case of beer and just have some fun. 25% off, free delivery, and just enjoy DoorDash, because I'll tell you what, they're going to be around for a lot longer than Keith Andel is. So use DoorDash, fire it up on your phone, fire it up on your app, promo code GlovesDD, GlovesDD US, and you will not regret it. All right, let's talk about your Bruins, Tim. Let's get out of here soon.
Yeah, I know. We don't really get to touch on the Bruins much, so I'm going to bring it back there.
All right, let's bring it back. Let's move past the Bruins. What else are we talking about?
No. So just real quick. Bruins, okay. Red hot, 16-3-1 in their last 20 games. They're the hottest team in the league. They lead the league in 5-on-5 defense based on goals allowed, which is no slouch because they're also scoring a ton of goals. They have some crazy good hot streaks right now happening. Taylor Hall, 21 points in his last 21 games. Marchand, 22-18. McAvoy, 19-19. Eric Halla, who I'm going to get to in a second, 17 in his last 18 games. Bergeron, 17 in the last 15. Craig Smith, 15-17. Charlie Coyle, 11-12. These guys are red hot, and they're playing really well. And Eric Halla, I just mentioned, the Bruins didn't get a second line center at the deadline, which is a need that a lot of people thought that they had ever since Krejci left. They felt comfortable with Eric Halla there. He's been playing pretty well, especially given the fact that he's got two elite wingers on either side after breaking up the perfection line. You got Taylor Hall, you got David Pastrnak. He's 4-6-10 since the deadline in four games. So 4 goals, 6 assists, 10 points. So he's playing really well. Now, I did a little bit deeping.
Deep digging into
this streak, the 16-3-1 in their last 20. During that time, they only played a playoff team 6 times out of 20 games, which is not very often, which is a little misleading already. And their record against those 6 playoff teams is 3-3. Now, am I saying this whole thing is a mirage? Probably not. You know, you play the teams you play, and I think, you know, regardless of who you play, this is the National Hockey League. You can get 16 wins out of 20. That's absolutely massive. But they were getting a lot of these wins against teams like the Devils and the Blue Jackets and the Blackhawks and the Ducks and the Coyotes and the Kraken. And all I'm saying is this, I don't want to call it a mirage, but I'm not quite as excited. Maybe they're not quite as good as this streak might indicate. And they're probably still right where they should be in the standings. Maybe they can get into a playoff spot, but I still don't think this team is top of the top just yet, despite how they've been the last 2 months. What do you think?
Wow, that's very bold of you to say. See, I think they're better than you think they are. I think they got a really good team. And it does, you know, you mentioned the Hall of thing. It does say a lot with how lines work, how you put together a team where there's 3 forwards to a forward line. If you can have 2 really incredible players and 1 guy who's good, but not a superstar, it doesn't affect the makeup of the line that much, you know, cause you put Jake DeBrusk where David Pastrnak was. Yes. The line maybe is a little bit worse, but it has a greater good because now that allows you to have Taylor Hall and Pastrnak together to make your second line way, way better. So the amount of negative you're getting from taking Pastrnak off the first line is maybe, you know, a couple goals per month you're losing that DeBrusk maybe can't supply, but you're getting probably 15 more goals for your second line because Pastrnak and Taylor Hall work so much better together than Taylor Hall and Jake DeBrusk. You know what I mean? So the net gain is so much higher than having your 3 top guys together. So I agree, getting a second line center you know, of the ilk of a David Krejci, who is just incredibly good, much, much better than Eric Halla, would have been incredible. But being able to go out and get a Hampus Lindholm instead of having to jam a high-end second-line center into that line because you're too stubborn to blow up your perfection line would have been a mistake. So instead of, you know, being stubborn and not breaking up the perfection line and not being able to get a Hampus Lindholm, look at the Bruins now. They have an elite defenseman to pair with Charlie McAvoy. Those guys are lights out. They can play 25 to 30 minutes a game. You have a strong first line, a strong second line. That bumps everybody down. Now you can put Craig Smith, Charlie Coyle, Trent Frederick together. I like the Bruins. I like what they're doing. I like the way their team's put together. I very much think they're going to be a factor in the playoffs when it comes to playoff time. I don't care who they play. They will be a hard out. And I know they're 3-3 versus playoff teams. They're still figuring it out. I'm not worried about the Bruins at all. I said it, I think, last week when they got shelled by somebody. I mean, I'm not worried about the Bruins. I think they'll be just fine come playoff time. Hampus Lindholm was a huge pickup for them. Absolutely massive. They need to figure out who they're going to start net, whether it's Allmark or Swayman. That'll be a big, you know, decision come playoff time. But other than that, man, this is a good team. I'm not worried about them one bit come playoff time. All right, let's do some quick hits. Timmy boy.
Yep, Sean Monahan is out for the season with a hip injury. Is this, you know, he's a big name on that team, and I know he's kind of come down the last couple of years. Is this a big blow to them, or not really a big deal at this point?
He's been a healthy scratch. No, not a big blow at all.
Healthy scratch because of the injury, though.
No, he was a healthy scratch before. It would have been better if he would have had the injury before the deadline, because they could have threw him on the LTIR and saved that money and got another player, but not going to affect them whatsoever. They had the luxury of getting Ryan Carpenter at the deadline from the Blackhawks. He's a good player they could throw on the fourth line. When Sean Monahan was in the lineup, he was playing on the fourth line. So I don't think it'll be that big of an impact. Yes, he's more talented than Ryan Carpenter, but you can ask anybody in Calgary, anybody in hockey, Monahan has had a very disappointing season so far.
Yeah, a couple of records were set over the weekend. Kirill Kaprizov set the Wild franchise record for most points in a single season with 84, which I was surprised by. That was a little low.
So low. You think a franchise, and that must not include the North Stars. That's got to be the Wild only. So that's still a low number. I think Gabrick would have put up a ton of points, or anybody else playing for low. It's so Minnesota. It's such a defensive team forever. Yeah, it's good for Kirill.
He would have like 42 goals and 20 assists, you know.
The guy liked to score, yeah.
Yeah. Similarly, Huberdeau set a same franchise record with the Panthers, but this one with 97 points. Worth pointing out that there's 15 games left to play, so these guys are going to shatter these records, which is pretty cool.
MVP, Jonathan Huberdeau.
Mentioned some of these already. Tyler Ennis, done for the season after taking that bad check, which is a bummer. It was a bummer. He's a skill guy. Tim.
Let's do your points bet. Get out of here. Let's go. Everybody's been waiting for this. They come here for your points bet predictions, and they want to know how much money that you're going to win them tonight.
A lot of people don't even listen. They just fast forward to like the money-making part, the last 2 minutes of the episode. They're like, hey, just make me some money. I don't need to hear
you get thousands talk. Of tweets, people saying that. It's very, yeah, I agree.
This is a big game tonight. Toronto Maple Leafs and Tampa Bay Lightning.
Massive.
Playing in Tampa. This is, if the playoffs start, this is how the teams are playing each other in the first round. Who do you like in this game?
I like myself the Leafs. I think they're going to come out firing. I like the way they've been playing of late. They eked out a win the other night, even though they didn't deserve it, versus the Philadelphia Flyers. They had a really slow start, but they managed to put it together and have little bursts of windows where it's like, dang, these guys are good. And I know they're playing the Flyers, so maybe they weren't quite up for it, but when they're on all cylinders, man, they're a good team. And they're humming, they're tough to beat.
You heard it here, folks. We are taking the Tampa Bay Lightning tonight. Let's go.
All right. Tim's got the Lightning. I like that. Bruins, Blue Jackets. Who are you going with, Tim?
Bruins.
Bruins. Okay, me too. Coyotes, Blues. Coyotes have been playing better of late. Who you got? Blues, Coyotes?
Blues.
Blues, me too. And another big one out west. The Flames have been sputtering. They haven't been playing well. The Kings have been putting some points on the boards. Who do you got? Kings or Calgary Flames, Tim?
Give me the Kings. I like the underdog here.
All right, I'm taking the Flames on that one. They get it back on track, man. They've been, like I said, not playing great hockey in the oil province of Alberta. But anyways, everybody, thank you for listening. Hey, go to Manscaped. Use our promo code GlovesDD, get 20% off.
Thanks for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode. Delivered by DoorDash.